These are my requests, Lord. I lay them before you, but I'm waiting expectantly. And I know that these are my requests. These are my requests. Yet I want your will to be done. Regardless of all the things I believe, all the things I believe I want, think I want, I just want your will to be done.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Unscripted Scripture. I'm here with the man, the guy, Jack Drummond, and he is here with the guy also, which is me, Zach Guyer. Hello, Jack. How are you doing this week?
Hey, man. I'm good. We're having fun.
You're having fun.
Down here in the basement. Yeah, we're having a good time.
And you're only good. You should be great. Let's make you great. At the end of this podcast, we should all be great.
We'll all be great.
Okay. All right. Any funky questions? What'd you do this week? How's your
week
going?
What did I do this week? This week, I had a lot of nothing. I didn't have any schoolwork. I was in the gym a lot, trying to get big.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing that you had nothing?
That's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I'm fine with it. I'm senior year, man. You know, senioritis coming in.
Right now, he has his shirt off. He's looking
huge. That's not true. That's not true. I got
huge.
A hoodie on.
He's flexing.
That's not true.
Oh, he looks good. All right. Me, on the other hand, I'm working on the dad bod. It looks great.
The dad bod, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Already.
Well, yeah. you got to prepare early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a dad bod is something you had to work for. I think it just happens. I didn't think it's something you had to like go to the gym. I don't go to the gym to get a dad bod. You go to the gym to get away from the dad bod.
Yes, you do, if you don't want a dad bod, but...
But you want a dad
bod.
I got it.
If your soon-to-be wife likes the dad bod, you get a dad bod.
Yeah, makes sense.
All right. I should like me any other way, whether I go to the gym or not.
Yeah.
But, dude, I got a new moped.
Moped? Oh, my gosh.
And I fixed it up last night. I know I ordered the parts.
Did you?
And on Monday, it should be running like a whistle, baby.
Woof. That's number
and
two.
Two mopeds
oh,
now.
Oh, man.
I love the hobby, man. I love getting broken down mopeds and fixing
now.
Them up. So
I think three makes it a collection. I think once you have three, right now you have a pair. I think once you have three, now you got a collection
of
mopeds.
It's going to look like, look for a video later, like of me, videos of me and my buddies driving around town. Like you and me, Jack,
sure.
Just driving around. Look for it and when it gets sunny out on the Unscripted Scripture page. We will be
That'd
gangsters.
Be awesome. That'd be such a cool photo shoot.
I know.
Strong
I know.
With
it
some
was going to happen. It's going to happen. But I love this hobby. I think I'm going to start selling them, fixing them up, selling them.
Learn the ins and outs of them. Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'm going to hold at two, going to keep two of them just so me and Jacqueline or me and you can ride around, cruise around town.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, all right. But
get into this?
While we are riding, you might want to pray for us.
Oh, that sounds good.
Because sometimes it's dangerous, whether we're wearing a helmet or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, prayer. Oh,
prayer.
About prayer. Yeah, by the way.
Look at that.
Oh, it just came up.
Yeah,
like
we're rolling into prayer this week.
Okay.
Man, first thing that came to my mind was Mr. Tim Tebow.
Oof.
Mr. Tim Tebow. We're the sports guys, dude.
Yeah,
we're sports guys. We got to be thinking sports and Bible. Yeah, 48. I'm like, this man, he was like public with his prayer.
Can we talk about something first about Tim Tebow?
Hit it. Yeah.
So Tim Tebow was on the Florida Gators.
Yeah.
But he was on the team with all those bad guys like
what the heck?
Aaron Hernandez and Riley Cooper. I forget what Riley Cooper did, but he probably assaulted someone.
He was a Jets, Eagles, and then it was Bronco.
Yeah, yeah, Patriot. Yeah. He was on the
Patriots.
For a little, but I was just talking about his teammates. Like, for him to come away still being that awesome guy, like being strong with his faith after playing with all these guys who came out later being like, murderers and what was Aaron Hernandez? There was a couple other guys, like Riley Cooper. I forget what he did.
That's
maybe
okay.
Abby will fact check it, but it's okay. We're not a sports
we don't
podcast,
need to
so
address
we,
Riley Cooper's
right,
sins.
That's true. But yeah, all right. You thought
but
of Tim
what
Tebow?
Is, yeah, like well, when I think about like prayer and sports and like people being public with prayer, football is like really all that comes to mind. Like I know there's Christians in all sports.
Yeah.
But they're not as like open with how they pray. You know, that's like something I saw a lot with football. Even like high school, like when we were in high school, all the football guys go down to the end zone and like the whole team would pray.
I do agree with you on this. I'm trying to think of a time when I saw like a soccer team, baseball team, or
wrestlers. I knew wrestlers, like before you go up to the line, they would go back to the circle and like pump the mat or whatever, and like point to the sky and then go up to the middle.
Were you
like,
one of those guys? Did you do that in your time?
Yeah, I did it in my head. I don't think I did it like showy like that. But I tried to think like, who's like a baseball player that like openly prays like that? Like a Tebow would, you know, where it's like very unashamed of prayer in public.
I think, I don't know if they openly pray. I think they show it. Like, we'll talk about JT Realmuto, his walk-up songs. People through their walk-up songs, they put just good, his was Red Letters.
Mm.
So yeah, I think that's their way of.
Daniel Murphy did that too. Daniel Murphy did Greater by Mercy Me.
He retired.
I think it was Mercy Me. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But that was, yeah. That's the thing. Like, yeah, walk-up songs, that's a good way to know, like, where they show their faith.
But I haven't seen prayer. You're right.
Yeah, it's hard.
Sometimes, you know, they point up, if a guy gets a save, they point up to the sky, like you just mentioned in the wrestlers.
Yeah.
Or if they hit a home run, they're pointing up to heaven.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting how that's athletes embrace that and what their idea of, you know, giving thanks to God. And Tebow just was so good at that. Like, he, totally unashamed, put himself on another the line. Level. Yeah. Like on the chopping block too, to like be ridiculed, and like people made fun of him for how he prayed. You know, that we even did it. We did the Tebow. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a thing.
It was hard to play backyard football without scoring a touchdown.
Yeah.
Tebow.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But it's good because he was a great role model for us young Christians, man. Like that's the type of humility and the type of love you show God through just giving thanks to him through whatever you're doing. So I really appreciated that. But as we get into prayer here, we're talking about, Tebow and like all these guys that, how they show God glory through prayer, how they show him worship through prayer. And that's, our questions are just rolling through the word. And, you know, how do we pray? How do we pray and how do we find the way to pray through the Bible?
Right.
Like, how do we find how to do that?
Do you want to, let's divide it up. How did we learn to pray? How do you pray right now, Jack?
How do I pray right now?
Yeah.
So for me, it's like always after scripture. So my time of devotion, I feel like it's necessary to pray to God. More, not necessarily like requests almost, but thanking him for the relationship that I just had in that devotion.
Okay.
And then ending the day in prayer, I think is always good. I don't always do it, but I try to do it before I go to bed. So it prepares. I'm thanking him for the day and then preparing my heart for the next day. So it's kind of like those are the times where like I am structured in prayer, and then I'm hoping, trying to discipline myself throughout the day to be praying to God in different ways.
But when you're actually in prayer, like in prayer, how do you go? Like
physically, like what do I do?
Like, are you like, dear God? Are you a dear God guy? Are you like, what do I
say?
Holy Father. Like, what's your intro? What's your start?
Like Jehovah Jireh.
Yeah.
Abba.
What are you saying?
I say Father a lot.
Father?
I say Father to start, and then like throughout it, I'm like, Lord, Lord, Lord.
Lord, yeah.
And then, I think I do that.
When we pray, I hear that. What makes you think that you pray that way? Do you think like your dad prays that way?
That's interesting. That's cool. I didn't think about that when planning this, but like that plays a big part of it, like on how people mention God's name. Mm-hmm. Like if I call him the Father because I feel like I have that relationship with him. That he's my father, you know, I don't like to say he's my dad, because, like, I feel like my dad is my dad.
Yeah.
But he's truly my father. Like, he's the one who formed me in the womb and created me. And so, like, to him, I feel like his son. And so, that's why I call him Father. And then, throughout my prayer, like, I call him Lord to give him the sovereignty and the superiority that he deserves of being like king and being mighty.
Yeah, I understand you're all saying that, but what I was trying to figure out was how'd you learn, like,
what made you
start calling him Father?
I don't know. Like, it just happened. I didn't always call him Father. I mean, I think we call him different things. Like, I've prayed
Dear
to him.
Jesus.
Yeah, and, I've done Jesus. I've called him God. I call him Abba sometimes, like, if I'm really into it. And so I don't think there's any certain way I found out, like, why I do this. It's just how he spoke to me through prayer.
Yeah. Do you think at a young age you were taught like how to pray? Like, I'm trying to really dive into this.
Oh yeah.
Like, how did we learn how to pray?
Well, the Lord's Prayer is like the biggest prayer, I think, that Jesus gives us. That's in Luke 11. We'll actually turn our Bibles here to Luke 11.
Yes, we will.
Luke 11 is when Jesus instructs the disciples on how to pray, because they said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And then Jesus said, when you pray, you say this, and it's the Lord's Prayer. You know, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. There's a couple lines in there that I think we say normally. You know, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Jack is not looking at his Bible right now. He's reciting this.
Because I think because we've been taught that over and over again. Mm. Sunday school, right. Prayer, going to... I go to grandma's church. That's their prayer. Like, it's so universal in every denomination. I think that's, denominations change it. Like, I'm not sure what Catholics do, but I'm sure it's different some way. And like, when you say thy kingdom instead of like your kingdom,
that's very funny. That's different. Yeah, because I remember at a young age, like maybe it was actually okay. We'll just say it was late high school, and I was like. I was supposed to memorize this verse, and I was like, wait, I already got it down.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do I have this down? And then it was like all those times, like you said, your grandma's church or your church or your, I don't know, someone else's church or Sunday school, all these things. You've said it, but you've said it without knowing. It was like one of those things where the whole church said it.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like mumbling along. But it is. It's recited over and over in your head, and I think that was a big part when I went to memorize this. I was like, wait, I already know this.
Yeah. It's so, because it's so universal. And I think when we're young, like you say, we just mumble it and we just, we don't really think about the words.
I didn't understand what I was doing.
But then as we get older, like there's some sermons about it. Like, let's get into it. What does this mean? Line for line, you know, we won't get into all of it now, but like,
no,
the importance of this is that Jesus is telling them, this is how you pray. When you have nothing else, when you're asking God, teach me how to pray, this is all you need. This is all you need to understand how to talk to God. You're thanking him for praising his name, allowing his kingdom to come. Like, Lord, let your kingdom come. And thanking him for the daily bread that you're giving, that his provision is enough for you. And then finally, like, asking forgiveness.
Yeah.
Forgive us of our sins. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, Lord. Like, that's the prayer. That's every aspect of who God is, who Jesus is. You're glorifying him first and foremost, thanking him for the food, and then say, Lord, just forgive me. I'm broken, you know? So I think that's what makes this so great.
So another question here. How do you feel about asking things to God?
Yeah. Well,
are you comfortable with doing that, or?
Yeah. Definitely. I think asking you shall receive, like that's scripture too. And, Luke 11:9. So I say to you, this is Jesus. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. That's not saying, like, for me, that's not saying that he gives us everything we ask for, but he gives us what we need. He gives us what we think. What we think we need might not be what God actually means for us. But he's saying, regardless, ask. Ask him. Ask him in his name. Don't just like, command it. That's not what he's saying. You don't command it. You ask. You ask him with your whole heart. But I think it's important to do that. It's important to lay our requests before the Lord. That's scripture too, man. Like, right. We have to do that.
Yeah, it also says it in Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 7 through 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. and the one who knocks, the door will open.
This is the gospel, man. There's Matthew and Luke right there. Like, yeah. It's repeated because that's the importance of it. Like, it is, we have to ask for things. God already knows our heart. It's not like he doesn't know and you have to ask him. Like, he knows, but he wants you to come to him in prayer. He doesn't want you to just live your life and, like, expect things to happen. Mm. He wants you to build that relationship with him through prayer. And that's why I think the importance of asking is that you're talking to him.
Yeah.
You're talking to him.
So what about, all right, so people ask God for, like, oh, God, give me this house. God, give me, like, items, nouns. Like, mm-hmm. They ask for these things. Is that good? Is that bad? What are we thinking here?
Yeah, I mean, I think everything. Lay everything before the Lord. Because all your worries, all your struggles, I think that's important. But we shouldn't go into that prayer with the mindset that it will be given. Like, if this, you know, we're in need. Someone's in, I need a house, Lord. Mm. Like, I need a house. I'm homeless. I don't know what I want to do. I'm losing it. Like, I need a place to stay. So, like, Lord, just please provide. Please provide. I know you will. I trust you will. Like, it's a show of faith that we're laying it before him. Like, I have nowhere else to go. I'm turning to you. And he provides for us in different ways. It might not be the way we expected. It might not be like, Lord, I pray for a house, and he gives us a 10-story mansion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Lord, I pray for a house, and he gives us comfort in a shelter or a place to stay, and, like, be thankful for that.
Okay.
That's how he answers. Like, he could answer prayers, and he might not answer a prayer until, like, 10 years later. You know, like, the prayers, if we pray a prayer today, it's not going to be, like, tomorrow night I'll have a house, but it's just going to be in his time. It's in his time where we'll understand, like, what's coming to fruition and these prayers coming true.
What if you ask him for something that you don't need? Like, it's say I, like, was like, God, I really want another moped. Just put another moped in my life. Like,
yeah.
What's that then?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how God feels about it. I'm sure he knows we don't need that. And I think deep down we know that we don't need those things. And I mean, God does allow people to live lives free of pain. You know, but that doesn't mean that they're always focused on him. You know, he allows people to live wealthy and luxurious lives, but they're not always focused on him and his word.
Yeah. I think when it says, like, I don't know. I think that's something like, why are you asking for that? Why are you seeking that? Is that really going to glorify me? Like,
yeah.
In the end result, is that going to take you further away from me?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that going to bring you closer to me? I think this is what God's saying.
Mm.
And he's like, so why would I give you that? And, like, then what's the difference between Santa and God if you're going to be asking for items like that?
Exactly.
I mean, what do you tell a kid if, like, a six-year-old who believes in Santa but also believes in Jesus and God, like, what do you tell them, like, if they ask?
Oh, man.
So God, or so mom, dad, what's the difference between Jesus and Santa?
Oh, that's, I mean, I would hope that any Christian parent stresses the overarching supreme importance of Jesus. Like, and I'm not really, I'm kind of biased here because I don't know if I'll, like, tell my kids about Santa or, like, the mystery or the
truth. So you're going to let them be the kid that tells everyone else Santa's not real?
Yes.
Because you'll tell them Santa's not real.
No, I don't know. I don't know how I'll deal with it. I'm leaning towards not, like, stressing, you know, Santa's coming, Santa's. Mm. I don't think I'll be that parent, but who knows? But
what did your parents do with you?
We heard about Santa. We thought he was real.
Okay.
Yeah. For a while.
I don't really know. I think my parents were like, yeah, Santa. The reindeer food. That's what got me, because we'd always put it out and it would disappear. I feel like I always knew Santa wasn't real until we did reindeer food.
Yeah. But, I mean, any Christian parent should definitely, I mean, definitely, Jesus is number one.
Oh, priority,
like,
yeah.
Jesus
okay.
is it. Like, yeah. Jesus is the one. Santa doesn't forgive your sin. Jesus forgives your sin. Jesus died for your sin. Santa didn't die for your sin. So
right.
I don't think that's in the same category. But, like, the fact that, yeah, where are we going with that?
Well, okay, let's bring it back to prayer. So you write a wish list to Santa.
Oh, right.
Wish list. You pray to God. What's the difference between those two?
I think if you're praying for a wish list, then you don't know what prayer is. You don't know the importance of prayer. If you're praying to check things off the list, I don't think that's the right way to pray.
Right.
You know, we pray for things that we think we need, but that's not always what God intends for us. And so we have to go into prayer with the mindset that these are my requests, Lord. I lay them before you, but I'm waiting expectantly. And I know that these are my requests. These are my requests, yet I want your will to be done. Regardless of all the things I believe, all the things I believe I want and think I want, I just want your will to be done. I think that is the important piece of prayer, is that we just allow God to take over and thank him for like this opportunity to speak with him and just praise him for what we do have in our lives, you know, and then trust that like he's gonna pull us through.
That was really good, Jack. That will probably make the cut for our little teaser when we
that's gonna make the cut.
Instagram.
Awesome.
Yeah, our Instagram teaser cut.
That was I like good. That.
You said it well. No, yeah.
I think, go. What you got?
Well, no, I guess I was just going to agree with you as I'm kind of losing my train of thought, so I'm just going to let you
continue. I think Jesus, I mean, if we're looking at the author and the illustrator and the person to show us how to pray and the importance and the need and the complexity of prayer, it's Jesus, man. So often in the Bible, we see him leaving, going into a solitary place to pray. You know, Mark 1:35, he left early in the morning while it was still dark, left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And then again, when he's set to die, I think this is, where is this? Luke, I got it here. Luke 22, I think, or John 17, either one.
Is this like when he tells everyone to stay awake?
Stay awake, yeah.
Yeah.
So he goes out to the Mount of Olives. This is just before, so after the Last Supper, you know, Judas had left and his disciples followed him and he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. And he withdrew about a stone's throw behind them and he knelt down and he prayed. And in John, it says he prayed for, he prayed to be glorified. He prayed to be glorified. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed for all believers. All believers. That's us. We're all believers. So he prayed for us back then. And this is a huge part in John. Man, I'm pulling this up. This is crazy. It's too much to read, but all of John 17 is just Jesus praying. All of John 17. Jesus prays to be glorified. Prays for his disciples. Prays for all believers. Says, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. And to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. So God, Jesus prayed for us, man. He showed us how to pray. He's like, you don't have to be with a lot of people. It's great. You should pray with believers. You should pray in fellowship with other believers. But you need to pray by yourself. I think there's importance there. And Jesus showed that. Like going off and praying, you build that relationship and that connection with God. You know, you build that like never before. And I think that's what these verses really illustrate. And we'll have to dig into John 17 another time, like a serious time. But
yeah,
that's a big, big part about like how do we pray right there, man. Jesus, like Jesus prayed to God.
Who do we pray to? Who? All right. Here's another question. Do you think we are talking to God, Jesus, Holy Spirit? Like who are we talking to when we pray?
Three in one, dude. Three in one. I mean, I think pray to whoever you want. You can, I think there's Jenna's talked about this too. Like there's she thinks there's times to pray to the Holy Spirit, times to pray to Jesus and to God. And in sometimes I feel like we do feel like we're praying just to that one. But at the end of most prayers I say like, you know, in Jesus' name, amen. But I feel like I'm praying to God.
Yeah.
It's interesting, but like at the same time, most of my prayers, I hopefully bring up all three. And I'm like, Lord, I just ask your Holy Spirit to move through me, you know, just guide me in this next step, guide me through this phase of struggle. So I think there's no right or wrong. I really don't. It's just, if you're all in, if your heart's into it and you're really connecting with God, there's no time limit. There's no like certain place you need. You can pray in the car. You can pray while you're eating, dude. Right.
In the shower.
In the wherever.
While you're mowing the grass.
Yeah. Oh, these mowing the grass. How many times you prayed while you're mowing
so
the grass?
So many times. So many. Man. These are the times when you think the most. Yeah. Your mind just wanders and you're like, God, wow. Like, thank you.
Seriously,
Lord,
dude.
Help me. What do you think about unanswered prayers?
Oh, unanswered prayers?
Do you think there are unanswered prayers? You think?
Yeah.
I mean, we just... I think so. My moped, like if I would have gave that prayer about a moped, I think that would have been an unanswered prayer from God.
Yeah. But I think when he says like, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find.
Yeah.
That can be misconstrued by people as saying, well, I can ask for anything and he'll give it to me. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the case. I think he means like, ask me truly, like ask me for help. Ask me for guidance and for comfort. I don't think he means ask me for things, possessions, materials. And so when we have unanswered prayers, it seems like, I think some of them seem unanswered because he didn't answer them the exact way that we prayed for it. Because like we said, like we think we need these things, but then he gives us what we really need. So the thing that we pray for might not be the thing that we need. And he gives that, fills that hole in us with another thing, with another part of our lives.
Oh, yeah. There's a song by Garth Brooks.
Oh, bring it.
Unanswered Prayers.
I've heard that, yeah.
Garth Brooks is a country singer. I'm getting into my country roots here. But there's a song. It's called Unanswered Prayers. And he goes to a old high school football game. We'll say he's in his 30s or 40s now.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees what he calls his old high school flame. The girl he used to go out with in high school. And he's there with his wife. He's married. Probably has some kids. He doesn't talk about them. But he's like, wow. And in the song, he then goes down. He's like, wow, God. He looks at this girl who he used to want to date, get married, and have a life with. He looks at this girl, his high school sweetheart. And then he looks at his wife. And he's like, thank you, God, for these unanswered prayers. Here's the lyrics say, and just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he doesn't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers.
Boom. That's it, dude.
Yeah.
That's it.
So God has a bigger plan. He knows better than what you know.
Yeah.
So absolutely. It's just a whole bunch of trust, knowing that God, you can pray for, he knows what's on your heart, but he's going to give you the best gift that he can and what's going to be the greatest outcome for you.
Perfect. I love that. And I'll finish with a story too, talking about the consistency and the frequency of prayer and how we're not just called to pray one time a day. Like, the Lord has no limit. He wants us always to be in conversation with him. But this is a story from Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was a missionary, and he got killed in Ecuador when he was 28. Trying to evangelize a tribe down there, and they speared him and his friends to death. But while he was at school, he was at college, at Wheaton College. He was a campus leader, president of the Student Foreign Missions Fellowship, and their aim was to challenge and recruit students for foreign missions commitments. And he led a huge prayer effort in this group. He made a large chart and divided it up into 15-minute periods around the clock, covering 24 hours a day. And he had students sign up in those 15-minute periods, and they promised to spend that time praying for the campus and asking God to raise up the men and women of his choice to send them out to the mission field. And he said the chart was filled up. This was his roommate that said this. And students prayed day and night around the clock, always were talking to God to work on behalf of missions. And the result of this was that in the 150-year history of the college, more students from those classes in the late 40s and 50s went to the mission field than in any other period. And he became a martyr. He died a martyr for the cause of Christ. So the consistency of prayer, man, like there's no limit. We can pray all day long. And we should never be afraid to talk to God and to just build that relationship with him.
It's the greatest thing ever is that there is someone who's willing to listen to you every single second of the day.
Always. Yes, sir. Let me just end a prayer. It's only fitting. And then we'll send you on our way. Father God, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for allowing Zach and I to dive through the Word and bring it to this audience in the best way that we can. We pray that it doesn't stop here for any of us, for Zach and I, for the audience, that they can keep going with how to understand prayer and how to really learn how to talk to you, learn how to speak with you, Lord. We're all trying to figure out how to do that, and the best teacher for that is Jesus. Allow us to look at his life in the Word and look at how to pray and the importance of prayer, the need to build that relationship with you, Lord. So we just thank you for this time. We thank you that we could speak your name. Hallowed be your name, Lord. We just praise you for this. Pray that it has impacted some people. It's definitely impacted us. So we just thank you for it. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Very sweet, guys. So if you made it this far, I think you can rate us. Give us a good old rate. Give us the good old 5-star special. But if we didn't do well, then, you know, give us a 1-star. Let us know how we can get better. But other than that, you guys know, we got an Instagram. We got a Twitter. We got DMs. You can DM us. We got an Anchor. You know, you guys can contact us. Jack wants some contacts.
Yes.
But other than that, guys, please have a lovely, lovely weekend. Don't be afraid to pray to God. We love you guys. See ya.